Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
Good morning, Buckhead. Rich Kasten over here, another episode of Buckhead Business Radio X. We have got some just the power brokers here in the room this morning, right? We've got a great lineup of guests here this morning. We have Bob Rathman is with TV play announcer at Fox Sports, right? Mm-hmm. Joining us in the studio, and we'll talk a little bit more with Bob in just a moment. And you're also a motivational speaker and an author, so pretty exciting stuff. We have Deborah Thompson, the senior manager at Affinity Groups of Georgia Tech Alumni Association, going to be telling us about all the good stuff happening over there, as well as a great event coming up, right?
Yes,
this month, I think, right?
Yes, it is. It will be June
26th. Nice. A little extra plug in there, yeah. Okay, and then we have Joanne, the publisher and founder of Simply Buckhead Magazine. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you have a new edition just hitting the streets?
It will be out on stands starting on Wednesday.
Nice, nice. So we're going to, and I've loved the publication since day one when we opened our studio. Always looking for businesses with the name Buckhead in there. And right away, I grabbed my copy. And we also have Melanie Romanoff.
That's me. Happy to be here. Thank you, Rich.
Did I get it good?
Melanie Romano.
Yes. All right. Nice. And you're a social, I love your title, social media manager, educator, CEO, and creative director at So Media Solutions, Inc. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to start off with our man, Bob, right here. And Bob has quite a, I don't know if we have time. If we went through your whole bio, Bob, I don't think we'd have time for the rest of the show, would we?
Just old.
Right. Yeah. Let's start with that. Yeah. So, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were formerly the voice of the Detroit Tigers.
Yes, sir.
In on 760 WJR.
WJR, the great voice of the Great Lakes.
Nice.
Yes.
A couple other voices that you guys have in your bag of tricks there. But more recently, 17-year veteran, TV play-by-play announcer at Fox Sports. You're currently the voice. Now, correct me, are you a voice of all these people or currently or in the past? But the NBA, just give me a check. NBA Atlanta Hawks?
Check.
WNBA Atlanta Dream?
Check.
Okay. SEC college football?
Check.
Serious? Come on.
We
have
more.
Attorneys in the building, Bob. Yeah, you got to be careful there. And there's at least one more, right? ACC college basketball?
Check.
And baseball?
Check.
And what about Mickey or Daphne or somebody, right? Okay. And but
it beats working, Rich. Come
yeah,
on.
I hear you. I love it. Yeah. One day I'll aspire to at least one or two of those. Yeah. If there's a spot open. But you're also a motivational speaker and author of Fast Forward Winner. So really looking forward to some conversation about that.
Sure.
And we're going to talk about your profession as a motivational speaker and what you do with companies around the country. But first of all, so it says in your bio, you wrote it, so I'm hoping it's at least halfway true, that you started at age 12?
That's true.
Started what, though? I mean, I had a paper route at age 12. But...
I broadcast my first game when I was 12 years old.
Wow.
Now, it wasn't the whole game,
right? Yeah.
But I was invited to broadcast a half an inning of a baseball game in my hometown where I grew up in Salisbury, North Carolina.
Wow.
And I was always fascinated with radio and always fascinated with sports and baseball. And I had a chance to go visit a radio station in my hometown. And the sportscaster showed up one day. He says, well, if you love it so much, why don't you come help us? And so I would do what 12-year-old kids would do, and that's go get the guy Coke and
nice.
Keep stats and hang out. And one night he says, and I'll tell you the announcer's name because any baseball fan will know it when they hear it. Well, you're ready to make your debut. And I said, well, yeah, I am. And I got the mic in the bottom of the seventh inning, and our first baseman, a guy named Joey Brown, and I'll never forget it as long as I live, hits his home run.
Right.
And I got to call it. And I don't remember exactly what I said, but the announcer got the microphone back in the top of the eighth inning. And he says, ladies and gentlemen, I have been waiting all season to call a home run. And when we hit one, I've got some 12-year-old kid on the microphone. And that announcer was Marty Brenneman, the Hall of Fame voice of the Cincinnati Reds for the last umpteen years. And that's how it started for me. And I've been at it ever since.
The rest is still history. Yeah. In the making. Yeah. And, well, nowhere near the story, but I remember as a kid, I was on the sideline with my little cassette tape recorder, and I was the youngest of four, so everybody else was playing football. I was on the sideline making the play-by-play, but it wasn't on the radio. It was just for, you know, on cassette tape. But and then later in college, I got into radio, but not at age 12. Wow. Now, so what brought you to Atlanta here?
The job. I came to work for Fox Sports South to do the Braves and the Hawks, and did them both for 10 years. And then when we acquired Turner South, the load just got to be so great that they wanted to have their own crew for the Braves and their own crew for the Hawks. So they stuck me on the basketball and the college sports. But that job is what brought me here in, wow. In 1996.
So the segue into motivational speaking, do you have a great on the edge of your seat story, or can you make one up? Or
no, not was, nearly as cool as this, called yeah, a home run when you're
hard,
12.
Yeah, exactly, but, hard to follow that. So what was the transitioner?
Well, I've always been in the great company of these tremendous coaches and leaders and great teams. And through my career as a sportscaster, always had the chance to MC a lot of events, dinners, banquets, etc. And I would hear guest speakers, and I'd be around these coaches and players, and it just fascinated me. You know, what is it? I got the chance to ask Mike Krzyzewski at Duke one time, what is it that it's a secret that you have that gets your team to play its best basketball when it counts the most? And he said, well, we practice like it's the Final Four all the time, and right. anything less than that is substandard in our view, so that when the big moment comes, we're ready for it. It doesn't hit us like a bolt out of the blue. So that got me on it, and I was always a big reader of motivational literature, tapes. I got a chance to do interviews for Nightingale Conant.
Oh, really?
At Once Upon a Time. Mm-hmm. And when I was here in Atlanta, I spoke for John Maxwell. I'm sure you're familiar with John.
Oh, yeah, most of our listeners know John Maxwell.
Yes,
yeah.
And one of my all-time heroes. And that sort of got me into the speaking world. And spoke for John
wow.
for years, and then have been doing it on my own ever since.
So what, I guess, drew you to him as an influence? What some of the traits or what did you see in him to either aspire to or,
in John?
Yeah.
I would think, well, his message is, incredible.
Powerful, yeah.
He writes a book about every 30 minutes.
Right, exactly. That's true.
He
right?
comes out, and they're all great.
Yeah.
He's amazing in that regard. But the overall message, I think the 21 irrefutable laws mm-hmm. was one of my favorites because it so many applications in the sports world that I see on a day-to-day basis are so easily transferable to get better results on the business side. And I think that's what intrigues me to go speak to these companies, to get inside their culture and ask, what's working and what's not? Where do you want to go? How do you want to get there? How can you grow your people to make them better? And I must say, we have all Hawks fans, of course, here in the room.
Right.
But this is
we had everyone else exit the building. That's right.
It's one of the reasons the Hawks enjoyed the success this past season that they had, because they are fanatical about developing players. And I think you can take those same tools and develop your staff, your workers, and your leaders.
I mean, there's so much over the years. I mean, it's hard to separate sports and success in business. Mm-hmm. And the principles are so interchangeable, right? On the field and then in the office mm-hmm. and dealing with customers and just start at the core of motivating. A great coach has to motivate their players, but they have to be self-motivated as well. There's so much interconnectivity. But so if someone were to look to reach out to you and they're looking for someone, what topics or what subject matter, do you as your niche or specialty?
There are three major topics that I'd like to delve into.
Okay.
And I like to tailor them, for each of my clients.
Sure.
But one is how to deal with the media. And I think this is something that's appealing to C-level. I can help you understand what the media is all about,
right.
what they're looking for, how to prepare, how to get ready, and then make it your friend rather than an adversarial relationship.
Right, right.
And we go through a lot of processes about how to prepare and how to get ready and all that. Another one that I give is business related toward peak performance, and that is the 95-5 rule. There are five traits that I've noticed over these years that are transferable from sports to business that can help redefine your culture,
right?
Help jumpstart where you are.
What are a couple of those?
Well, I think the biggest one, Rich, is a vision. Is to start off. What are you about? There isn't a team that begins a season that doesn't sit down before the first practice and say, this is what we're all about. These are our goals for the season, and this is how we're going to get there.
Right.
And for those in professional sports, there is but one goal, and that, of course, is to win the ultimate championship, get the ring. But there are other goals to be achieved along the way. And every team that I know of starts out that way. And I think business should be the same. Yeah. You know, what is it? What are you all about? What goals do you have, and how are you going to get there?
It's interesting because a lot of businesses, they just kind of keep moving the ball forward, but they're not really sure where the end zone is, right?
Right.
Or also, they have this great mission statement that's about three paragraphs long, right?
Right. You know?
But
right.
It's not clearly defined, or they just don't, yeah. And collectively, right? Because as the owner or the C-level, you have this grand vision, but is there a challenge in it getting diluted amongst you know, the staff and the...
Absolutely.
And the people on the front line, right?
Absolutely. And it is one of the parts of the sports culture that's so strong that the third lowest ranking assistant coach still has a very powerful voice in the day-to-day. And that is something that I think needs to carry out into the business world. I must say, Rich, there's one big difference. And business has it a little tougher than sports.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is, in sports, you have an off season. You get to shut it down for a while, okay? You know, we can change the roster and change the coach and do other things and get ready and recharge the batteries.
Right.
Business is a little tougher.
That's
I always liken it when I speak to changing a flat tire on a Greyhound bus, hanging out the back window, going down the expressway at about 75 miles an hour. And that's business. That's change that you're trying to accomplish in the business world. But I do think it's possible. I do think it's effective to be able to go in and change a culture and do it rather rapidly to get some results. And I think that's one of the big things, one of the great challenges in the business world is how do you set goals? How do you identify success? And then how do you sustain it and improve upon it? And that sounds easy,
right.
But boy, that is hard to do.
Day to day, yeah.
That is hard to do. And you've got to have strength, everybody in lockstep from the top all the way down to make it happen.
That's an interesting observation. I never heard or never thought about, right, the difference between, because there's so many similarities. What is the difference? And, in business, they don't have that off season. That's why I want to own a tiki bar on the beach and just be during the summer, right? So I have the off season,
exactly.
But, so I guess that's where maybe like retreats or corporate, some downtime and kind of, rethinking things because it just turns into one day after another otherwise, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And it I think, is a constant renewal.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing about sports is that we have a scoreboard every day that tells us whether we won or lost.
Right.
Not so in business. I mean, you could check the stock price maybe. But,
or your sales.
But it's still sort of a floating, moving target. We know. Very clearly, at the end of the day, it's in every newspaper, it's on every TV station at night. You won, you lost.
Right.
Not that easy. So again, how do you seek clarity in accomplishment? You know, what did we do today? You know, did we meet the goals that we set? And I think every company, no matter the size, has those same challenges. How do we define success? How do we say to ourselves when we go home at night, you know, we had a good day today. We won the day today.
That's a big challenge. It never really kind of crossed my mind. That's huge. So
you
know, this book you've written, the Fast Forward Winner, tell our listeners about that.
Sure. This is more toward the third thing that I speak on. You mentioned the first two.
Sure.
And this one is geared more toward a youth audience. And by youth, I mean young people. It doesn't necessarily mean teenagers, but it does apply to high school, college, but young adults. And it is a six-step process that will take you from a hobby that you may have, or a dream, a goal that you might have, and to turn that maybe into your life's work. And it's basically parallels the story of my career. And I think the six things that you can do to ready yourself for the marketplace with something that you might like to do sometime. How do you meet people in the industry? How do you learn about the industry? How do you prepare yourself? How do you meet people? How do you network? How do you create? How do you do all these things? And the reason I wrote it through the Hawks and Fox Sports South, I have over the years had a chance to speak to hundreds of schools, Career Day and all of that, okay? And I get a lot of blank stares coming back at me about what do you want to do? Not that you can't change it 50 times between now and age 30, but I get a lot of blank stares that they just don't have hope. They don't have a clue as to what to do. They might have a goal, a dream, maybe to go out and be a singer, a dancer, actor, actress, you know, whatever it may be. Or there's, they don't know how to do it, or B, there's somebody there to talk them out of it. Well, what, who do you think you are?
Right.
You know, so I want to offer encouragement, because I go back, and I think a lot of us do, if I can do it, you can do it.
Right.
I was nothing special growing up, Salisbury, North Carolina. You kidding me? My mom and dad came from nothing, and
right.
You know, and but I had that dream. I wanted to be a broadcaster. I wanted to be a sportscaster.
Good stuff. If you're just tuning in, we got a couple more questions for Bob. He's the Fox Sports South announcer for virtually every sports team in North America, right? The voice of, right?
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming. And so a couple more questions for Bob. But if you're just tuning in, Rich Castan over here with Buckhead Business Radio X. We have in the studio also joining us Deborah Thompson, the with the Georgia Tech alumni, and talking about an event coming up. We have Joanne Hayes with the founder and publisher of Simply Buckhead Magazine, and Melanie Romanoff with social media. She's a social media manager, a guru with So Media Solutions. So, Bob, you're also, we've briefly met, but I know you're an MC and our connection with Larry White at the Ritz, at the Ritz Group, right?
Yes.
And so a shout out to him. I know he's
absolutely
tuning in and listening. But you're an MC for that program of the, this is goes back to the business element, right? Because everybody pretty much knows you as a sports broadcaster, and you're phenomenal at that and so well entrenched in that industry. But how long have you been doing this with the Ritz Group? And you host, MC an event called, which I've been to. I love it because I'm a big fan of the Shark Tank. But locally here in Buckhead, the Ritz Group and Larry, they put an event called the Shark Attack.
Yeah. And it's a complete ripoff of the TV show.
Exactly.
And I think Larry
for legal reasons,
me saying
we
that.
Have to state
right.
that for legal reasons.
Right.
It is, yeah.
But it is one of the most enjoyable things that I get to do. And if you've been there, I love this. And the Ritz Group is all about connecting entrepreneurs with great ideas, with angels that may be interested in funding their projects or maybe even getting involved with them.
Yep.
And it is a fantastic way to promote Georgia business. And
right,
I think
right.
that's what excites me the most. You know, we've got some holes out there in the entrepreneurship game that need to be filled.
Yep.
And I think what Larry is doing with the Ritz Group and the Shark Attack on a monthly basis to generate it's not like the TV show where we're trying to embarrass people and get ratings and all that. And I'll talk to Cuban next time we play the Mavericks.
I was going to say.
But
so if we,
what we try to do on this is take three sharks, you know, who are all come from very successful backgrounds, with these entrepreneurs who are vetted by the Ritz Group, and they get to rehearse and practice, and then they make their pitch. And it's about 15 minutes per presenter, and it is just a fantastic way to promote Georgia business, because the batting average for these entrepreneurs is pretty high.
Yeah.
You know, they get funding, and they get recognition. This is obviously through the Ritz Group. A lot of awareness and attention through the website, et cetera, but it gets them out there, and they're in all different phases. You know, some are, you know, at the developmental stage, some are at the pre-funding stage, et cetera. But it is just great, and I have so much fun. We've got one coming up a week from Thursday.
Yep.
Is our last one of the season.
Right.
We take a little break in the. It was a little summer hiatus.
And that's at the City Club right here in Buckhead.
Yes.
And it's great just being there as an audience member, because if you're a fan of the show, this is real live and real people right here locally that you may know about. And like you said, they have Larry likes to call it three sharks and three bait, whatever, right? But you do a great job at that, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
So tell our listeners, what's the best way to get in touch with you, Bob?
Best way is on the website
at
bobrathbun.com. It's all there, the speaking and the books and all that stuff. It's right there.
All the links, and I'm sure you'll add this audio to the archive as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, pleasure having you here. Hope you'll stay around for other guests.
Absolutely.
Here.
Okay. I can't wait to learn and hear all these good stories that are coming. I love story.
Me too. It's awesome. You're a 12-year-old. It's hard to top that. Yeah. So thanks again for being
You're
here.
Welcome. Thanks
and,
for having me.
Welcome back anytime. And so up next, we have our next guest, Deborah Thompson. You're the senior manager of affinity groups at Georgia Tech Alumni Association, right?
Yes.
Did I get that correct? You've been 16 years at Georgia Tech, and you're responsible for managing the Tech Alumni affinity groups, right? And you have a great event coming up here. And going to tell us a little bit more about that. And it's BizTech 2014, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's BizTech.
Right. And so tell us about this. Well, first of all, prior to Georgia Tech, anything interesting at 12 years old? Did you start up any?
Well, I'm originally from Chattanooga.
Oh, okay.
And I came to Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, with a company. And I started at Tech 16 years ago as a temp.
Okay.
And I'm currently working and managing our Georgia Tech alumni affinity groups. And those affinity groups are alumni groups that are based on profession, culture, academics, and sports. And we have 22 affinity groups right now.
I know. I went to your website, and I thought this was the only one, the Biz Tech. And I'm like, whoa, yeah.
Yes, and they're doing wonderful things right now. And Biz Tech is just another way to engage more alumni back to Tech. And so it's a great opportunity to Biz Tech. This is our second year for Biz Tech, and it's been wonderful with engaging alumni as well as entrepreneurs and business leaders in the city back to
Tech. So I'm taking a wild guess here where it's going to be held is on campus there?
Well, yes, it is at one of our facilities close to campus at the Georgia Tech Research Institute.
Okay. And where when is the event?
The event will be June 16th. That's on a Thursday.
Okay.
And it is an evening event. It's from 6 to 9 p.m.
All right. And who's your audience, or who's amongst our listeners, whose ears should perk up that you know, might want to attend?
Well, the event is open to everyone, but for entrepreneurs at all levels, you can be startups or experienced entrepreneurs and business leaders, Georgia Tech faculty and staff, students, as well as the public are welcome to attend. You know, this is a must-attend event.
And what this is your second year, so what are your like Bob was talking about, what are you guys, what's your objective to what's the end game here to achieve by hosting these events, and what are the benefits? I guess
one of the end games is to have all of our guest entrepreneurs, business leaders, and Georgia Tech, the Georgia Tech community, to have the opportunity to network and learn how to start and launch a successful business.
Okay. And so the participants, will this be like a expo, or will they be giving demonstrations, or what's kind of the format, I guess?
Well, the format is going to start out with a networking reception, and that will be hosted by or planned by our Women Alumni Network group, and as well as all of our affinity groups. And there will be a keynote speaker, and that keynote speaker is one of our own Georgia Tech grads.
Okay.
And that is John Marshall. He is the vice president and general manager of AirWatch by Vermeer. And Mr. Marshall is a Georgia Tech grad who successfully started AirWatch and has become one of the leading businessmen. And this company is one of the world's leading enterprise mobility management providers. And Mr. Marshall will share his success story, the entrepreneurial journey from Georgia Tech to a billion-dollar acquisition. And others that will be participating is the Georgia Tech Enterprise Innovation Institute, the Georgia Tech Business Network, they're very popular in Atlanta, the Entrepreneur Society, and the Georgia Tech Alumni Affinity Groups, as well as a host of entrepreneurs and business leaders. And this is a must-attend event for any entrepreneur and business leader, you know, throughout Atlanta.
So. Absolutely. Bob was shaking his head. I mean, what a great success story, right? AirWatch.
That's yes. Georgia. That's
right?
Georgia business success right there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a great story. AirWatch is just like, I mean, it's for the average person, maybe it seems like it appeared out of nowhere, but I mean, there's a lot of behind the scenes that just, you know, is a great story. So, speaking of participants, how many did y'all have last year, roughly? What do you anticipate? What's the crowd size look like?
Last year, we had close to 300, and we're expecting the same number this year.
Okay.
We have a host of volunteers that will be participating as well, so this is a great event. So.
Cool. Well, put me down for one, so that's 301. You can put that
on your
scoreboard on the wall if you're keeping score, yes.
I will definitely do that.
So tell our listeners, how would they register or find out more about the event and the affinity groups, yeah?
Well, for the event, Biz Tech, you need to go to gtalumni.org/BizTech, and that will take you to our registration page. And for a minimal investment of $10, you can register for the event, and you will be getting the opportunity to network. There will be a reception, and that $10 includes your food and beverages, which is a great deal, And also our Entrepreneur Society, they're planning on having a coaching booth there. So there's something there for everyone at the event. But if you just go to gtalumni.org, that will take you to the Georgia Tech Alumni Association's website, where you can learn more about our alumni affinity groups and other programs.
So, Deborah, wait a minute. You're telling me for $10, I get the event, get to network, food and beverage?
Yes, and you also get a great story from John Marshall.
Oh, that's well. I was going to lead up to that. That was the. I'll put me down for two tickets. I'm so excited.
I sure will.
So, I mean, that's amazing. And then, what was this coaching you talked about? Or
our Entrepreneur Society is planning on having a coaching booth.
Okay.
And that's a great way to coach some of the startup entrepreneurs, and it's just a wonderful event. So just register and come out.
So that's different than a kissing booth, whatever.
Yes,
right? I
don't
do they do this anymore? I think I just got in trouble. We are off the air, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. So yeah, that was back in the day. Remember those, Bob? Yeah, that was good time.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, exactly. Off the air. Yeah, that was. I don't think they do this anymore. Yeah. But meanwhile, so Deborah, it was a pleasure having you here this morning.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm glad we helped get the word out for y'all. And I know you're going to have a huge event.
Yes, it is.
And many more years in the making, right?
Yes. And I definitely look forward to seeing you, Rich, at the event.
Yeah.
So come out.
I'm there. If not, it'll be my cardboard stand-up, which is pretty much about the same, right? It's like, so did we mention the affinities group beyond the event, right? I mean, people can plug in there as well for all those different groups. And I imagine they all have events throughout the year.
Yes. The affinity groups, the Georgia Tech Alumni Affinity Groups, have events throughout the year. And they not only have events, they also do mentoring for students. They provide networking opportunities, not only professional, but social networking as well.
Okay.
And they also raise scholarships and engage alumni back to Tech, as well as friends of Tech. So you don't necessarily have to be a Georgia Tech alum to get involved.
It had me nervous. I thought I was going to check my ID at the door or whatever, my tattoo. I don't have a Georgia Tech tattoo permanently on me. Well, thanks again. And thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you, Rich.
We appreciate your time. And up next, we have the publisher and founder of Simply Buckhead Magazine. I got my copy right here on the desk. And I don't, am I getting an advance copy this morning or?
No,
autographed
actually,
or?
I haven't seen an advance copy yet.
Oh, okay.
But we do have the May issue.
Okay.
Which is currently on stands.
Bob, would you just breeze through that and just give me the Cliff's Notes versions of that, or whatever, the highlights, yeah, which is pretty much on every page, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Every month I put this under my pillow at night.
TMI, Bob. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. So back to Joanne. So you're the definitive, Simply Buckhead is a definitive resource for Atlanta's most dynamic in-town neighborhood, right? Which is Buckhead. We're excited
Correct.
To be here. We just opened our studio. And is this an amazing million-dollar view or what, right?
Anywhere in Buckhead where you're above five stories
right.
is a great view.
Good, good. All right. So, and with a commitment to journalistic excellence, the magazine serves as the authority on who to know, what to do, and where to go in Buckhead and the surrounding communities, focusing on the neighborhood's best and brightest, especially those typically ignored by other media outlets. You're published 8 times a year, 24,000 copies in over 250 locations, and also available worldwide on that World Wide Web. Is that the internet?
Absolutely. And we're proud to say that we've already been viewed in 83 countries,
wow.
all 50 states, and 163 cities and towns in Georgia. And we
nice.
Monitor it daily, so we know exactly
what
we're
seeing. Like Salty
Dog,
do you have people holding up their Simply Buckhead magazine in Hawaii on the cliffs or whatever and taking a picture? Yeah.
We
if
do
not,
sometimes.
On, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We
I,
do.
I would do that for you. I'll take a picture at the Georgia Tech event with your magazine.
Thank you.
So you're also a proud member of the Buckhead Business Association, right across the street over here, the World Trade Center Atlanta, Buckhead Heritage Society, and Atlanta Hawks, right?
Absolutely.
Go Hawks.
We're huge fans.
If you're a Hawks fan, you go straight to heaven.
Right? Nice. No $200, yeah. And but you're also a sponsor of Cure Childhood Cancer and Share Our Strength, right?
Yes, we're a year-round sponsor for both of those charities. We chose two major charities that we wanted to be hands-on, personally involved with their events and hosting events ourselves that sponsor both of those.
Yeah, and Melanie's nodding her head. There's a great story of a great cause you're behind as well, we'll talk about, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm excited to
right
hear that.
Right here in Buckhead, yeah. Okay, so let's jump right into it. For Joanne, what questions, where are my questions for you here? Yeah. Oh, here we go. Sorry. 3, 2, 1. Are we still on the air, Bob? Is this what you call
this is where you do a little tap dance.
Right. Yes.
Exactly, yeah. Sorry about that. I got caught,
well,
so caught up in the excitement. Thank you,
I
Bob.
Must say, the magazine is so colorful and so informative.
Well, thank you. We've worked very hard to make it be this way. And, you know, just pulled in some of the best writers we possibly could in Atlanta. And our team continues to grow with writers and photography that is just superb. And many of them well known in Atlanta, and some of them nationally and internationally for their writing skills.
Wow. It's undoubtedly very impressive. But so now we were talking on the phone. You mentioned, I don't have the time to tell the story, but you sat in Sam Massell's office, whatever, right?
Yes.
4.5 years ago, right?
Yes.
So what was the the idea behind this, and how did you conceive and start the magazine, I guess, background?
Well, a little bit of background. I'll tell you the short version.
Okay.
I was doing this in Rhode Island. I started in the advertising world in 1996. So I was a ripe old age of 35 when I found my niche in business. And I started a newspaper for a Journal Register company in Southern Rhode Island. And after 12 years there, I worked for 3 years for Providence Media and started a magazine for them in the southern half of Rhode Island. And it's the same format as what we're doing here in Buckhead. So I brought this idea with me, and I moved here for love, met my husband on a blind date.
Really?
And ended up coming to Atlanta. My first exposure to Atlanta was in Buckhead. So fell in love with it right away. And our first date here was actually at Atlanta Fish Market. So it's kind
of
poetic.
Of history. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Poetic that Pano Caritasos and Buckhead Life have been one of my most loyal clients since the beginning. But when we first came here and were trying to figure out what to do with me, because I was the one that gave up the lucrative career, we looked at all the skills and talents, and my husband said, just go do your research and do it on your own. And I spent 8 months researching, trademarking, choosing the name. And the first person I sat down with to vet my idea was Sam Massell.
Yeah.
And the first question he asked me was, do you know how to sell an ad? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, well, that's great, because I think you should do this in Buckhead. And you will work very, very hard for a minimum 3 years. But I promise you that Buckhead will pay you back. There's big things on our horizon.
If you get the nod from the de facto mayor of Buckhead, then it's all uphill from the, or downhill or sideways. Which way does that go? It's all good from there. Yeah, yeah.
It was all good. And he's been a friend and a mentor and just a wonderful, wonderful introduction to Buckhead for me.
Great guy. So, so with your magazine, if someone's either not familiar with it or they're familiar with others, what kind of sets y'all's apart or makes it kind of unique?
We're unique in the sense that every single thing we do is right here in Atlanta. The writers are Atlanta. The photographer lives in Buckhead. The printing is done right here in Atlanta. If it could be done right in Buckhead, we would do it, but we do it in a metro part of Atlanta. And every single word in the magazine is a paid professional freelance journalist writing it right down to our calendar of events.
Wow.
They seek out interesting and unique events and people and places and charitable things that may not get the mainstream press. Sometimes those established long-term mainstream media find some of our smaller charities and smaller events are not as much of a draw for them. They're perfect for us. Our readers want to know that their neighborhood is filled with people that are doing great things that just wouldn't normally get the press.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some, you touched on a little bit, what are some other interesting relationships in the community?
Yes. Well, one of them obviously is through the Hawks. you know, we had Zaza Pachulia on the cover of our September 2012 issue, and through Zaza, we were able to forge a great relationship with the Atlanta Hawks, and we became members, and we have been fans all along, but we are there all the time. We make sure that we get a chance to say hi to as many of the folks from the Hawks organization as we can, and they've also been advertising with us ever since that day we met Zaza.
What a great story. I mean, it's just, it is those relationships and the long term and the stories. We talked about stories earlier, but the stories that come out as a result of that or whatever, right? What are the changing demographics here in Buckhead since just in the last 4.5 years, you've seen some...
A lot of change.
Yeah.
The most prolific one, I think, in the demographics is that there's over 8,000 apartment units that are either in process of being built, proposed, and or have been built since 2012. And with the apartment dwellings, that kind of brings a little bit younger demographic. So there's a pretty big skew from 25 to 44, much more so than in past years. Our readers are, you know, typically 25 to 65, but that younger skew is a lot larger number than it used to be.
Okay. That's interesting, just that change in that period of time. So what's on the horizon for Simply Buckhead? What's next?
We won't give away all of our secrets.
Come on, just a couple.
We've bantered around possibly starting a second title somewhere here in Atlanta. We actually have trademarked another title, and I won't divulge the name. Right. But this year we did go to 8 issues, which was big for us. We had been at 6 for our first 3 years. We went to 8, and it's been a great move for us. And we are talking about potentially doing 10 issues next year.
Wow.
So we want to continue to strengthen the Simply Buckhead brand and continue to add to our editorial roster. There's even more great topics and individuals and businesses and charitable events that we want to be able to lend our hand to. And we're trying to figure out the best way to do that over the next 8 months.
I'm thinking Simply Swanee sounds good, whatever. Or Simply Bob, I don't know, yeah. So what advice would you give to budding entrepreneurs other than future magazine publishers? But if you're not in that business, yeah.
Yes, so, we don't want any competitors in the direct market.
You're good. We're good for Buckhead, yeah.
But what I can say is we were at an event several months ago called Choose ATL.
Okay.
And Kwanzaa Hall was there, Councilman Kwanzaa Hall. And there's an initiative that's very strong right now and very strongly tied to the Atlanta Tech Village as we're trying to expose Buckhead and Atlanta as a great digital hub in our country. And, you know, there's so many great entrepreneurs that have started a business out of their home, which we did. We're a perfect example. Or in their garages. We hear about these stories all the time. And Atlanta is a very entrepreneur-friendly city. And I didn't realize how much until I did it on my own when I moved to a city where I didn't even know a single person. I started from scratch. And, you know, everywhere I go, people remind me that in 4.5 years, we have just done wonderful things. And I kind of still pinch myself that we came here and literally started without a single thing in place. And it was so easy to research and find the right things and the people to assist.
Yeah, you talk about startups in garages or basements or whatever. You always hear, but I always feel like I got the short end of the deal because we only had a carport growing up. So that's why I didn't. Anyway, but meanwhile, tell our listeners your philosophy on giving back to the community and your charitable causes and sponsorships.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of publications make the mistake of, you know, just saying yes to numerous sponsorships and charities and parties and this and that. And as I said before, we started off the magazine with a goal and an intention of choosing charities that we could personally be involved in and that meant something to us. I have 2 sons and, you know, having children definitely changes the way you look at things. And our philosophy as a publication is that all of our team members are also, family oriented. We have people who just had babies. We have an editor in chief who just announced she's having a baby. there's been 3 of those in our Simply Buckhead family in the past 2 years. So there must be something in the water. But we feel very strongly about children. And I was approached by Share Our Strength before we even launched our magazine. And this is the No Kid Hungry campaign. Jeff Bridges is the national spokesperson for this campaign. But in Atlanta, it's a very, very strong chapter. So we put our money where our mouth is, and we've been very involved in that charity since before we launched. And then with Cure Childhood Cancer, we were approached by Executive Director Kristen Connor and Tom and Chris Glavin. And we've been involved with them for 2 years. We were invited to sponsor one event, and after that event, I left in tears and said, we're going to be your sponsor year-round.
Wow.
So we are their exclusive magazine sponsor.
Wow. I mean, congratulations and just good stuff. I mean, you do good stuff and good stuff comes back to you.
Absolutely.
Whatever, right? I mean, and tenfold. That's a great story. So tell our listeners, what's the best way to reach out to y'all?
Best way to reach us is at www.simplybuckhead.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at Simply Buckhead and on Facebook, Living Well ATL. And you can reach out directly to me anytime, publisher@simplybuckhead.com.
Nice. I know we've been changing so many tweets or whatever back and forth or whatever.
Yes.
It's a great way to kind of like get the word out on what y'all are doing as well. And I look forward to, so the next issue is coming out When?
Our June issue is actually today being stitched and bonded, and it will go to our distributors tomorrow and start on newsstands on Thursday.
Can we divulge who's on the front cover, or is that top secret?
Oh, not yet.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Not yet.
So, okay.
It's always a surprise,
well,
and I'm the last
tuned.
Person
always,
to
you
see gotta it
keep
all.
Them, yeah, wanting more or whatever. Yeah, nice.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Joanne, a pleasure having you here this morning. I appreciate your time, and it's just, you're doing great stuff, and we look forward to not only this edition and more. You're going to 10, possibly. But so don't tell me, because, well, you can't, but any timeline on that, the next offering for the future? Public?
No.
Okay, yeah.
No.
Boy, she's good. I can't get anything out of you.
No, we're just enjoying a very exciting year in Buckhead with Buckhead Atlanta coming in and changing the landscape of the shopping, retail, dining scene here. And, you know, waiting to see what happens,
exactly,
and we'll reevaluate at the end of the year and decide which direction we want to go.
It's kind of like, I don't know if you heard this story, probably, was it Bill Walsh, the San Francisco 49ers, right? I heard a story, I heard him tell a story that he won the Super Bowl, and then just phenomenal. What that takes to do that, right, is insane. And so he's leaving the stadium at a gas station, getting gas. The guy comes up to him. Oh, Bill, congratulations. We won the Super Bowl. He's like, yeah. So what are your plans for next year? And he's like, dude, can I just bake in this and enjoy this in the moment or whatever, right? Yeah, yeah. So, well, thanks again. And, we have our next guest talking about, social media and Twitter and getting the word out. We have our next guest here this morning is joining us in the studio, and, quite an extensive background. I'm not even sure where to start with this, Melanie. I mean, help me out here, but, so you're I love some of your titles here. Like you said, you're the CEO and creative director at So Media Solutions. You have a master's degree, in education. Mm-hmm. You're very passionate, obviously, about what you do. And, some of your experience has been in gaining brand and top of mind awareness, right? Have you heard of the tomato principle, right?
Yep.
Okay, good. So tell us a little bit about your background. And are you originally from the area here?
No, I grew up in Northern Virginia.
Okay.
And I moved here for love as well. Actually, growing up, I visited Roswell every summer to visit my grandmother. And now we live about 3 miles away from where she was.
Oh. That's the title of a new book in Atlanta, Moved Here for Love.
Moved Here for Love.
Collaboration.
Okay. Yeah. And Casanova, your host here, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to work on that later. Yeah. So we're going to talk about your, speaking of good causes, Stick It to Cancer is an event coming up here you're going to tell us about, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But first, tell us a little about, you know, your business, what you're currently doing with, you're actually campaigning Women of the Year for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, right?
That's correct. Women of the Year, it's Man and Woman of the Year campaign benefiting the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. That's correct.
So tell us about that. I mean, what's involved in that campaign?
Well, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society funds groundbreaking blood cancer research, and they do so in a number of different ways. You may have heard the Light the Night Walk.
Right, right.
They also have a famous regatta. They also have the Man and Woman of the Year campaign. So there are 10 men and 8 women. We're competing against each other to see who can raise the most money in a 10-week period. We have 11 days left.
Wow. And you don't get a rose at the end or something, right? That's all.
Well, we might get a trophy. We'll see.
nice, yeah. Well, and you're in the running for that?
Yes, sir. I'm a candidate. Yes, and nice. I'm aiming to raise as much as I can. I'd love to earn the title.
Yeah.
But more importantly, cure blood cancer research and cancer once and for all.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's good stuff. So now, using social media for fundraising, talk to us about that and how the interplay with business development as well.
Yes. Well, my company is So Media. We founded So Media just over 4 years ago here in Roswell out of our kitchen from the ground up. And we are also a virtual business, very family oriented. Everybody works from where they are in the world, but we are a team of social media specialists. That means that social media for business is all we do. And our clients tell us that we're very, very good at it. And so the idea is really networking, just like we are today over the radio, just like we do every day, whether you're standing in line at the grocery store or going to a dedicated network event. We're having conversations and building very valuable relationships using social media outlets like Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Vine, and YouTube.
There's so many platforms, whatever, right? So you kind of do need that person that is not only, because you can learn about that on your own, right? But you kind of manage those accounts or coach them, or what's the day-to-day operations if someone contracts you, I guess, yeah?
Well, I started out as an educator. I had a master's in education, and I was working in a learning center using social media to connect with my students. And all of a sudden, my sales job got a lot easier. So I knew that a business could be built on social media, but more importantly, that businesses need to learn and understand how this works. So I started out teaching and coaching people on how to manage their own social media. But now really where our business is that 100% management. We are the outsourced solution for social media management. And we will take care of everything from, you know, we need to create the strategy and figure out where do you need to participate online?
Right.
Where is your audience? Where do we spend our time in the most valuable and efficient way possible? And then we will create the content that goes out on a daily basis. And we also have those, we look for opportunities to engage in existing conversations. People are talking on Twitter all day long. So we jump in and help them and support them and promote their things and ask them questions and start those little relationships online in order to create profitable relationships offline.
It is powerful. I mean, I've always kind of dabbled around a bit on the outskirts of social media, but since we launched the studio here, I've just all in, and it's amazing. I was always kind of, you know, not resistant, but didn't really connect the dots. And once you see the results, it's powerful. I don't know if you heard the story. What was it? We had another studio, the PR director for global brand Arby's. And when Pharrell was on the Grammys with his hat, did you hear that story, right?
Yeah, they made a Twitter handle for his
Yeah, and it was actually an intern, because the PR for global brand for Arby's was telling the story. And he said they had an intern, and they give that latitude of, like, you can do within certain boundaries or whatever, right? So they said, what was the tweet was, when they saw him live, says, Pharrell, give us our hat back. Because he's wearing a hat that looks like the Arby's
right.
logo, whatever, right? That just exploded, right? And it was just that little thing just kind of set in motion. And I mean, there's a whole other story to that. But tell us about your experience with Stick It to Cancer and small business owners. And this is even local to Buckhead quite a bit as well, right?
Absolutely. So a little bit of back history on Stick It to Cancer. Stick It to Cancer is in its fifth year, founded by very good friends of mine named Tori and John Westmoreland. They own a car wrapping company, vehicle wrap
yeah.
company called In Depth Wraps.
I've met them, yeah.
They're wonderful people. They kind of vetted us out and decided that we were good at what we did. And they and Tori really picked me up and put me in the middle of her business group. And she really has been a godsend as far as that is concerned. And John is in remission from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And the two of them just started this brand called Stick It to Cancer. And Stick It to Cancer is a group of business owners who have fun saving lives. So what we nice. Do is we throw events. We know that people have to go out to eat, so we've yeah. dined to donate events. We have people who love to play poker, so my husband just hosted All In for a Cure, the fourth annual,
nice.
On Sunday, which was a smashing success. So we try to give everybody a good reason to come out, have a great time, and have a huge impact on many lives in the world. And it's been an initiative of So Media since the beginning to give back. And to make sure that we are ingrained in our community and doing something that we are very passionate about. And we charge all of our employees to get on board with us or something that they care very much about. And so Stick It to Cancer, we have done this now for 5 years, and everything that we do always benefits the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. In the past, we have walked together in the Light the Night Walk. But for these 10 weeks, the events all go to benefit LLS and My Total for the Woman of the Year campaign.
And is this with local steak restaurants, or what's the or is it in Buckhead or beyond, or what?
Okay, so you're talking about the event that we have coming up on Thursday, which is actually called Stakeout Cancer.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Stakeout yes. Cancer, yeah.
So Stick It to Cancer is the organization.
Right.
And please take a look at us. Find us on Facebook.com/stickittocancer, the number 2. You can find out all of our events. We have one coming up on Thursday called Stakeout Cancer. Now, Stakeout Cancer features 5 of our steakhouses here in Buckhead. There's Chops, Davio's, Shula's, Prime.
You can see Shula's right out the window right here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Strip. Strip's the one I'm forgetting.
Yeah, at Atlantic Station,
I can't
right?
believe I forgot Strip. That's one of my favorites. So those 5 steakhouses from 5 p.m. to close on Thursday are all giving 20% of their gross totals back
wow.
to Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. It's pretty incredible, and we're really excited to have a big night.
So you go out, have a great meal, yep. and knowing that 20% of your tab goes towards that.
That's right. That's go out
phenomenal.
And eat, have an extra drink, get some dessert, bring your friends. Really, the turnout is what makes a big difference for us, and we can raise a lot of money on Thursday night.
So it's don't stay home at ThursdayNight.com. I don't know.
Come out to Buckhead. Right. Have some great steak.
It's great. So happening right here in Buckhead. So now, how do you get small businesses off the ground? I mean, have you created this small business toolkit? What's that about? I mean, what would that look like? Or, you know,
Well, whenever we gauge a new business, whether it's small business, whether it's international enterprise, we always start with the strategy. When you think about sports, you're going into a game. We have a goal, we have a vision, and we have a strategy. But we're also very flexible because we know that plans don't always work the way we want them to.
That's called calling an audible, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And so we do a lot of research with our companies and our clients before we do anything online. We go through a discovery process with them. We have to find out who their audience is, exactly who they're trying to talk to, where they think their audience is online.
Right.
And then the SoMedia team, we go back into our war room and we do our research. And we look at, you know, as much as we possibly can about what competitors are doing, what those brands who our clients aspire to be like are doing. Where are people hanging out? What conversations are they having? So that we can put together a comprehensive strategy. And we will tell that client, you know, you need to be talking this often and these channels about these things and looking to connect with these types of people. We research who the influencers are in their era or their area to make sure that we're making the most valuable connections possible. And then when we have that strategy and we're ready to go, everybody feels really nice and good about it, then we launch. And that's where SoMedia really shines, I think.
Nice. So now what are some things not to do on social media in terms of a job search or clients, I guess, whatever? Yeah.
Well, as far as, you know, I think when it comes to a job search specifically, social media can work very, very well for you, especially if you are giving back to the community. You are involved in, and you're constantly talking about the wonderful things that you are doing. Now, it can also go the opposite way. So if you're not very involved, if you're not talking very much, but you're there. So if you're an egg on Twitter, I highly recommend that you change that profile picture. Do not be an egg anymore. You know, those.
I can picture that. I've never thought about that way. That's what that is. That's an egg. Yeah.
That's an egg. That means you don't really know what you're doing on Twitter.
Anonymous, yeah.
Yeah. And so as far as social media is concerned, there's a lot of really good things that we can do, but there's a lot of not so good things that we can do. And I think it's perception is reality is the number one thing to remember. It's very difficult to make a first impression anymore because I can look you up and I can find out who you are and what you have to say about yourself on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram. So just, you know, think twice before you send that tweet out.
Yep.
Understand that, you know, things can very easily be taken out of context and that you're using hashtags that are actually relevant to what you're talking about. Research those hashtags before you throw it out there. You never know how other people might be using them.
Could you put a hashtag in front of the word hashtag, or was that?
There actually is a hashtag.
Oh, really?
Hashtag.
No, come on.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
Well, I thought
that was an original idea. Yeah. Dang it.
A good example of using hashtags for business, though, we have, you know, hashtag #StakeOutCancer.
Yeah.
So if you're not sure, you know, it's facebook.com/stickittocancer. How did I spell that?
Right.
You can always look up the hashtag #StakeOutCancer, whether it's on Google or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and you're going to find pictures and information about what's going on during that event.
I always wonder, is there a life cycle or shelf life to the hashtags? Does Twitter like drop those off after a period of time, or they stay there in perpetuity? Or,
you know, hashtags are really run by those who are using them. Twitter really doesn't have much to do with hashtags at all. It's all about us. It's all about the users who decide what hashtags we want to use in conversation. So that's a good question. If you're talking about an event this year and you want to have a hashtag for this event, do we want that hashtag to end, or do you want to keep it evergreen so you can use it next year?
Yeah, because I see a lot of Twitter accounts where they have the hashtag for the event. It's hashtag 2013. I'm like, I can't find anything current or whatever. So, I mean, that's kind of the chicken and the egg there maybe. But,
yeah, well, we use for All In For A Cure. The hashtag is All In For A Cure.
Yeah.
Not All In For A Cure 4.
Right.
Because we want people to see All In For A Cure and the history that we've had and all the people who have been involved in it and the conversation around it. So even if we haven't mentioned it for 11 months, when we start talking about it again, that information becomes newer.
Now, we talk a lot about, you know, primarily business here, Buckhead Business Radio X, but social media for summer. Summer's right around the corner. Any tips or advice or how to find deals or secret codes for summer travel?
Well, you know, I think inherently, social media is really about being social and being connected to people you know, like, and trust, and the friends and the people that you love. And social media is just a really great place to do some crowdsourcing. Put it up there on Facebook. Let people know that you're looking for something. You need some help. You know, hey, I'm going to Costa Rica. And you can't miss opportunities out there. Now, that said, you may not say, I'm going to Costa Rica from June 10th to 16th.
Right. And my home address is this.
That's right. So, you know, it's think about what you're putting out there in the world for sure and keep yourself protected. But crowdsource, find out what your friends know. Those are the people that we trust most. A Google search will give you different results. But I think it's a good idea to kind of put that out there and ask people. They'll send you websites with discount and coupon codes and travel advice and things like that. So go to your primary resource.
Huh. Sometimes you don't think about it. It's right in front of you, whatever, right?
All
day
ask.
Long, your phone's right there.
You'll be surprised. All you have to do is ask and you'll get lots and lots of information. The things to not do and stay far away from, the terrible experiences and the best experiences.
Okay. So finally, Melanie, talk to us about quality versus quantity and the importance of like engaging, you know, I guess the, not just any audience because there's, you know, billions of people, but you're the right audience. I mean, you kind of tapped on that a little bit, touched on a little bit earlier, but what about quantity? I mean, is it better to have, you see some Twitter accounts are like, wow, they have that many followers. That's insane. And then you go to another one, they have seven or whatever. So, I mean, it's like.
Sure. Well, and I'll use Stick It to Cancer as an example,
okay.
If that's all right.
Go for
ahead
it, yeah.
And plug Stick It to Cancer,
sure.
A little bit more. So it is a really great example because right now in the next 11 days, we have four events coming up. That's a lot going on.
Yeah.
It's a lot of information and they're all very different. We have Stake Out Cancer. We have Lift for a Cure, which is a CrossFit competition.
Oh.
Maybe not the same people going to both events. I don't know. But for each event, we really try to look for the right people in the right audience. So you'll see generic posts on Stick It to Cancer's assets on Twitter and on Facebook. You'll see them on mine, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. But there's a lot going on in the background. And that's where the quality really comes in, is those private messages that we're sending to people who we know are going to be interested in this, who are likely to talk about this and get excited about it. So what you won't see is tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet of the same thing to different people soliciting their participation. It's really much more of a personal invitation behind the scenes. Now, you can also think about quality versus quantity, the number of Facebook fans you have. We all want to have 100,000 fans. Now, if you go to facebook.com/somedia, S-O-M-E-D-I-A, that's our company, and you'll see that we have 964 mm-hmm. fans right now. And I am so proud of that number because we know those 964 people.
Yeah,
I've met them. I've talked with them. They've heard me speak. They've heard about me from someone we know. So they're genuinely interested in what we have going on. They know that they can come to facebook.com/somedia and ask us social media questions anytime. We really want to be that resource and be available to people. And those are the quality conversations that we're having. When we get into having, you know, hey, I can pay for fans. I can pay $5 and get 5,000 fans on Facebook.
I can?
You can. You can, but I would advise against
it. Yeah, I gotcha,
yeah. You know, we end up with 35,000 fans in Uganda.
Right, yeah.
Or wherever they might
Istanbul
be.
Istanbul.
You know,
or Kennesaw.
Or, you know, we're in India. And sometimes that's wonderful. And sometimes it's just not the right audience. And then we struggle. Now we've got to really make up that lost ground and cover more ground in order to get back to the right people.
Right.
So quality, absolutely quality. Get the right people connected with you, have really great conversations, and it will take you much farther than having a great number.
That's a great message. And I love the idea. I don't know if maybe other people do that, but I like the idea that folks can go to your Facebook page and interact and ask these questions that we've been talking about, but a little bit more in depth, or that burning question, you know, at 2 a.m. or whatever. I can't sleep until I get this answer or whatever, right? Or at least the next day it'll be posted. And then it's kind of a share that back to that community or crowd sourcing, right? Because then other people may be thinking the same thing. I mean, that's pretty cool.
That's exactly right. And that's why we do it. We really want it to be public, because if you have this question, 10 other people are probably wondering the same thing. And we do aim to be that resource. Sometimes Facebook moves a button and you can't find it. Actually,
right.
It happens every day.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they put out an app that's going to listen to your conversations.
Right,
you know, what does that really mean? What are the rules? How is this going to work? And that's why we're here, to help you figure that out. It's all we do. So we hope that we know it better than everybody else.
Well, I've been impressed. Just, I feel like, you know, I got all this information from all of our guests here for free or whatever, right? This is the best day ever, right? So great stuff, Melanie. Thanks for being here. And tell our listeners, what's the best way to get back in touch with you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. It's Melanie Romanaux, R-O-M-A-N-A-U-X, or just look up SoMedia, S-O-M-E-D-I-A, on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and everywhere. We're on
Pinterest. So you're on the internet then, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anywhere socially, you can find me.
Right. Want to thank once again our guest here this morning, Bob Rathburn, is the TV play-by-play announcer for Fox Sports South. Thanks for being here, Bob. It was great stories.
Thank you, Rich.
Yeah. May have you back as my co-host, or maybe the host. I'll just sit in or whatever. Yeah.
Thanks. It was great fun.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. And Deborah, with the senior manager at Affinity Groups at Georgia Tech, look forward to your event.
Yeah. Yes, definitely June 26th. Come on out.
Apparently, there's going to be 302 people there, from what I heard, whatever. Yeah.
Yes.
So, And Joanne Hayes, publisher and founder of Simply Bughead Magazine. Delight having you here. I'm just
Thank
a big
you.
Fan of your publication.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah, and great meeting you in person and here on the air. And, of course, Melanie, the all things social media. Yeah.
That's
social
right.
media queen. I don't know if that's,
you can call me Queen Bee. I'm
yeah.
okay.
All right. Nice. Good. Well, that was a close one. Yeah. So, we want to thank, all of our listeners and everyone here in the studio for joining us, this week. And we look forward to another great episode of Buckhead Business Radio X right here. Same channel, same time. Oh, I think I had a quote here for y'all today. I was supposed to have this kind of queued up and ready. I did highlight it, but my new thing is to finish with a quote for the day. And you may want to write this one down or you can listen to it, but it's a good one. Here it is. Talking about goal setting, that was kind of teed off the topic about this conversation about setting goals. The thought is, have a goal so big that it's embarrassing. Right? That people would laugh at you because, like, really, you're going to do that? But, I mean, if you can set a goal so big that it's embarrassing, I mean, that's good stuff's going to come about as a result of that, right? So once again, we'll see y'all next week. Have a great week. Make it a great one and productive.